are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. We are live. Hey, Alex.
Hi.
So, what are we talking about today?
I have no idea.
That's good. We're off to a great start. So, what we're going to be talking about today is Diogenes. What do you know about Diogenes?
Nothing.
That's a good start. Most people don't know anything about him. See, a lot of people, let's start pretty simple. He was a Greek philosopher, right? But not really known to the other, as so much as other people, like Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, all that stuff. But he lived at around the same time that Plato did. And he founded the school of cynicism. Do you know what that is?
Cynicism?
Like hating things?
Oh, okay. I thought for a moment you meant like...
Sinning?
Sin.
No, well, I mean, well, I mean...
what? I was about to say, that was way before him as well, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I think some of the stuff that he even did then, even to ancient standards, was probably a little sinful. Cynicism is weird in the sense that it's not so much cynical as in everything is terrible. It's more in the vein of society as we know it is terrible. But his philosophy is, you know, it's interesting if you're a nerd and like philosophy. But what's more interesting is his whole life as a person, which was spent living in a barrel and living in a little thing of pottery in town square. Yeah, no, his whole thing was he rejected worldly possessions, which is, you know, odd when you think about it. But his whole thing was he lived in a barrel, he chilled with dogs, and he drank from a soup, from a bowl, from a soup. No, that's wrong.
So he was one with nature, he would say?
Say that again?
He was one with nature? He didn't want to have any possession of man-made stuff.
Well, I think it was more a possession of man-made stuff because he hated it for some reason. Mm-hmm. Part of living in a barrel and part of this was he really hated Plato, like on an extreme level. Like, you know, you learn about Plato in whatever, philosophy class you take, but he really hated him. And one of the best examples, he liked to do these stunts, right? A lot of philosophers like to do these showings of their virtues and values. Socrates actually famous for that because he would basically go around and insult people until they couldn't insult him back because he would prove them wrong with whatever logic and just being too fast. Also, little interesting side thing, do you know that Socrates was like super ugly? Like really ugly? Like, he's always drawn, and he's, like, drawn, like, this elegant, like, old man with, like, rippling muscles. No, he was, like, a super ugly old guy. And he'd use that to his advantage, because he'd pull up to, like, this rich guy's house all ugly with, like, his entire posse behind him, says, yo, what's law, dude? Yeah, that's what he would do. He would insult. Anyway, back to Diogenes. So one of the stunts that he pulled is somebody asked, and this is, like, the famous one, this is the one that you'll always hear about, Plato was asked, what is the simplest way to define a man, right? What's the simplest way to define a person? And what he said was featherless biped. So basically, like, pluck all the things off an ostrich, and you're good. That's a human. You know, humans, if we had feathers, we'd be birds, but we're not. We're a featherless biped, because we stand on two legs. Now, Diogenes heard that and said, no. So what he did is he plucked a chicken, a live chicken, brought it in, yeah, it was still living when he brought it in, brought it into his study, mid seminar. So basically imagine bursting into a lecture hall while the person's like talking about, yes, I am this intelligent individual. And he said, behold a man, and spiked the naked chicken into the ground before walking off, presumably with, you know, explosions going on in the background and sunglasses on, the whole deal. Yeah, and this was all just to prove one guy wrong. And he would do stuff like this all the time. And one of the, and again, more famous examples is talking about, he was also alive at the time of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, who is not Greek, actually, I think from Macedonia. I don't know. I'll have to check up on that. But at the time, he knew who Diogenes was. And Diogenes was basically a local legend in, I want to say he was in some place that starts with a C, but I'm not really well versed in ancient Greek geography. More so in, you know, the chicken spiking. What? Yeah, Greek. No, it was Greek, not Roman. Don't worry. No, it's okay. And, you know, he wanted to meet Diogenes, right? And on two separate occasions, there's two tales of what he, you know, what he said to him. And Alexander the Great, basically, the first legend, which there's very little evidence to back up, but it's still, like, you know, interesting to say, is, you know, he met Diogenes, and Diogenes was doing what he did best, acting like a feral dog and going through a pile of bones. And Alexander the Great's pretty befuddled by this. He's like, okay, this is the great Greek philosopher I ever heard about. You know, what's he doing? And he says, oh, Diogenes, what's good? What's up? And he says, oh, I'm just looking for the bones of your father, but I can't tell the difference between them and a slave. And it's like, whoa. Which is a large part of his philosophy. And we'll talk about the other example. But another famous one of his anecdotes is when his few followers, because, you know, following a guy who lives in a barrel and does all this vulgar stuff, which we'll get into in a bit later. Remember, FCC, we're not trying to spread terrible things. We're just telling history as it happens. His followers, what few he had, asked him, well, what do you want us to do with your body when you died? And he said, I don't know, just throw me to the wolves, give me a stick. And he said, well, and they're like, well, you know, why to the wolves? He said, give me a stick. He's like, well, you won't be alive to defend them with the stick. He says, yeah, so why should I care? Just throw me to the wolves.
It's like, going back to the apparent meeting between Alexander the Great and, what's
the name? Diogenes.
Diogenes. It's like, apparently Alexander the Great heard so many great things about him, right?
Yeah.
A philosopher, one with a lot of wisdom. However, it's like, you hear such great things about him, but they're a very complete different person when they meet him. Apparently, a feral old guy.
It's like saying you're gonna meet the president of the United States, and then you find him dumpster diving out back of a 7-Eleven. Except it's there's kind of already a reputation for him. And this other story, which likely happens, was Diogenes was chilling in his barrel, as you do when you're Diogenes. And Alexander the Great walks up to him, you know, put shade, like the whole dramatic lighting behind him. He's like, Diogenes, Diogenes, you're awesome. You know, I'm Alexander the Great. I'm pretty awesome, but you're also awesome. Is there anything I can do to you? And what Diogenes says, and we almost know for a fact that this happened, he says, yeah, get out of my sunlight. But the effectively is, please get out of the way and don't talk to me. And Alexander the Great, even with all his power, said, you know what? He insulted me, but that's okay. And just left him alone. Because Alexander the Great really had that much respect for Diogenes. Is there any other figures like that who are just, like, so legendary in, like, how, like, depraved they are or how, like, just scalding they are? I don't know if we have that in modern terms.
I don't think so. I mean, not what I can think about right now.
Yeah. And we'll come back to that later. But, and this is kind of a large part of his thing. And he did have a few followers, and is eventually formed a thing called Stoicism, which was a branch, I forget, from one of his few disciples. And once again, there's actually no written word of Diogenes. None of his writings exist, which is odd, considering that he was just as famous as some of the other philosophers of the time. Even he was well known. This wasn't like some sort of outcropping thing. The reason you don't hear about him is because he doesn't have writings left. And one of the theories people have about that is Plato, upon Diogenes' death, went out of his way to find the writings, his manic scrawlings, and burn them and get rid of them. So a lot of his stuff carried over oral tradition, which was still very alive and well in ancient Greek at the time. I think we have to talk about a PSA, but I haven't been given any of them, so I guess the government just has to deal with me talking about Diogenes' antics for another 40-ish minutes. Isn't that fun? What else can we talk about with Diogenes? Well, I could talk about the fact that he had a very special kinship with dogs. This is like one of the few good things about him. He was I don't know if this is true, but in any image you see of Diogenes, any painted caricature of him, you will see him surrounded by dogs, like dogs of all shapes and sizes, because he thought dogs, like a lot of people nowadays, think dogs are better than people. Very Mark Twain of him. Do you know that Mark Twain quote? The more people I meet, the more I like my dog.
No.
And he had a serious respect for them, because dogs don't care about human standards. Dogs are just living their best life. And that was kind of like the pillar of his thing, was that society as a whole was regressive, that humans are animals and will follow our base instincts, which is, we're talking about sinning. It's kind of pretty high up in following, because a lot of, you know, this philosophy of being like this person of ultimate virtue and value is like, you don't give in to your urges. and that kind of thing. And Diogenes, to a certain extent, didn't. His literally only possession was a wooden bowl, and even that he got rid of close to the end of his life because he saw a little beggar child drinking water with his hands. He's like, I don't need this anymore. And he tossed it.
It's like when a human urge, so many people we give into them so easily. It's like honestly like
Diogenes. Yeah.
It's amazing. Apparently, it's amazing how like he was so. He was strong-willed. He's strong-willed enough to, like, not give in that easily. And, like, apparently
yeah.
got rid of that bowl.
Yeah.
It's honestly amazing because we as human beings give in to our urges every day.
Yeah. I mean that's only natural. I think that was part of it is that he it wasn't so much that he was rejecting his urges. He fully indulged in every single one of them. So one of the things is he would go to the bathroom in public in front of people and sometimes in mid-conversation. Because he felt like he had to do it, so he did it. So he acted as close to an animal as he possibly could. There's another Greek philosopher who did something similar, who basically said, I know nothing. I know nothing at all. I don't know anything. And he basically lie around like a vegetable and have his followers feed him and carry him around, because he didn't know how to do that. He didn't know anything. And it's just so... It's this a lot of Greek philosophy is very extreme. And it's interesting because some people really try to follow that philosophy as closely as they can. Like, people idolize ancient figures. And I feel like that's so unhealthy because the standards of then versus now. Like, if you met somebody who, like their figure that they worship was, like, a pharaoh of Egypt. Like, how far removed is that culture from their own? Even if they're living in Egypt. Like think about that. Like, that's such a place of, like, I am the god emperor of this parcel of land.
Are we talking about, like, going back in time or, like, nowadays? Because back in time, it was very extreme. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I love history, and to a certain knowledge, I know that it was very extreme.
So many cultures, like, I feel like as time goes on, we get a lot more relaxed about things, especially in, like, you know, more, like, I wouldn't say, like, modernized, because I feel like that'd be, you know, that'd be rude of me to say, but, like, in more, like, first world countries, you know, we move towards, you don't stone people to death anymore, I mean, at least most places, you know, all this terrible stuff, especially, like, the Assyrians, do you know about them? They're, like, old, and their big thing was, it was really eye for an eye, like, literally, that's where it comes from, if you got somebody's eye out, your eye got plucked out. And they had these horrible, like, brutal punishments for the littlest things. Like if you stole, you got your hands cut off. Like, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like...
Imagine if you shoplifted from, like, Target, and then some guy came around and cut your hands off. And that's what it was like.
I'd rather face jail than happening.
Yeah, like, any reasonable person was. There's a... Oh, my... I mean... You can look throughout history of all these, like, extreme rulings. I've been learning a little bit about Russia. Thank you, Lafayette College, by the way, about kind of their culture and how they've evolved. And the big issue and the reason that a lot of their culture is kind of borrowing is because they had such a division between... Ooh, that's my phone going off. I have to turn you off. And there's so much of a culture divide, and it's kind of odd to see, because you had the really rich, and then you had the slaves, which were actually 95% of the population at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything from history that you think like that, like you notice? Like, yeah. That's super extreme, that would not fly.
Basically, you just said that. When you first talked about this, I was just like, my mind traveled all the way to what I learned in high school, about, like, the medieval times.
Yeah.
All that. Like, in the, when the kings and queens existed, I remember perfectly my world history teacher, she put out this image in the PowerPoint, and basically it was a woman carrying the monarch, the priest, and the noble people. And the woman was carrying all those people because basically, like you said, 95% of the population was slaves.
Yeah.
People who were poor. And through them, the taxes, their work, all that went to the priests, kings, queens,
yeah.
noble people. And it's like they made so, if we were to think about today, all that money would go to, like, obviously taxes.
Yeah.
Poor people would get some money back.
Mm-hmm.
The rich wouldn't. And it's like so many wild things. Like, for example, a priest would have huge castles with 300 rooms and a lot of land. That 5% of monarchs, priests, noble people, they would have, like, so much land, and the poor people would have, like, so little land.
You,
they would be, like, on top of each other, basically.
Yeah, you kind of wonder, like, what would you do with 300 rooms in a house? Like, around where I live, there's this massive house, and it's literally, like, the size of the White House, and two people live in it. Two people.
I mean, back then, they were just lavish in the goods that they had.
Yeah, but
like, if it's awful, it's really awful. it really is. You can't just say, oh, I have not a mansion, a castle.
A castle.
300 rooms.
Yeah.
And I only live in there. Yeah, like, what are you having in there?
I feel like if you have that many rooms, you could run anything. You could have, like, a gift shop out front.
Yeah.
It's so strange that, like, one of our most developed countries, you know, Britain, or the UK, I don't know, they got the whole Brexit thing going on. I don't know what's happening anymore. They still have monarchs. Like, those are actual, like, people in positions of power. I think the Queen actually recently, like, invoked one of the few remaining, like, things she can do as Queen. And it's like, I don't know the margin, but I think a fair amount of people in Britain don't like the monarchy, and I could be wrong because I've never been, but it's odd that, you know, a country that large still has, like, that monarchy as a symbol of their whole, you know, thing. I mean, because they have the prime minister and all that. Weird question. I don't think almost anybody's seen this. You know how, like, they live record Congress all the time,
yeah.
Like, you watch in. Have you ever seen the British Parliament live? You thought American politics was bad? British politics, they are crazy. They shout over each other all the time. Like, they have screaming matches.
That's politics.
Right, yeah, but, like...
We somehow managed to, like, stay calm, control ourselves
online. I mean, in the courtroom, or in the Congress, we're always like, well, I think you're wrong for reason A, B, and... I almost slipped in British. A, B, and C. And then on Twitter, it's like, I will literally dismember you and your entire family. Like, it's such a like, you see people get heated on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't, it's just so, it's so beyond. Anyway, Diogenes, right? We got a little, we went a little bit off topic. One of the other interesting things about Diogenes, which was something, but I lost it because I just lost my train of thought, was actually, no. Yeah, this is bad radio. This is like peak bad radio because I'm completely forgetting my next talking point. But that's okay because that's what this is for. We have a great little thing called Wikipedia. Wikipedia, as you don't know, is actually privately organized. So you should donate to Wikipedia next time you're on it. Wikipedia, it'll probably save you during your next essay. They had the whole thing with I feel like WikiLeaks is constantly in the news for doing something terrible. But it's like, you know, somebody's got to be leaking all that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Diogenes. Let's see, what other interesting thing could I talk about? Oh, right. Nope. Let's just talk about... right, something interesting, just a little fact. There's an actual famous syndrome there's a syndrome called Diogenes syndrome. And it's really weird because the whole thing is basically purposeful self-neglect and hoarding, which is so anti what Diogenes is all about. I think what they're going for is, Diogenes lived in squalor on purpose, and this syndrome is where you accidentally don't take care of yourself and you hoard things. Like, well, Diogenes would never hoard anything. He threw away his only thing, which was a single wooden bowl. There's a lot of weird syndromes out there. Like,
they are. We don't even know what to name them anymore.
Do you have a favorite weird syndrome? You don't have a favorite?
No.
That's a pretty weird thing to ask.
It is.
Mine is Munchausen by proxy syndrome. Munchausen is when you believe that you're sick to garner sympathy, or you pretend to be sick. So it's like, oh, I'm ill all the time, please send me your goodwill. But instead of that, you poison your child or your elderly parent or pretend that they're sick so that you get sympathy via them. There's actually a famous case, I think they made like a HBO show about it, where this girl killed her mom because she cooped her up with, like, this syndrome thing. And, like, it was this crazy, crazy thing. It was a real thing that happened. Yeah, I know, no. People are crazy. I think that's it.
I don't know if it's exactly a syndrome, but I remember this story about this girl. She believed... It was a psychological issue, but I don't know if it had the next syndrome in it. This girl, she actually believed that she was dead.
Whoa.
Yeah, she would wear dark clothes. She was pale as a ghost, literally.
Wow.
She actually believed that she was dead. And because she believed she was dead, she believed that she didn't need to eat anything. She believed that that she was fine, that she was in the afterlife. And it got to the... It didn't actually get to the point... For her, it didn't get to the point of, like, what other people did, what other people that had that problem, that situation. They believed that because they were dead, they would be able to jump off buildings and be safe.
However,
it led to their actual death. She got help, obviously, but there were, like, two cases where she actually... One, she was, like, at the brink of death, and two, her heart actually stopped, but this doctor, he managed to, like, make her heart beat.
Yeah, like adrenaline.
Yeah, so it's, like... I don't know if it's a syndrome, but it's like something.
I think it's pretty close to a syndrome where you believe something. That's like some other kin stuff. Yeah. Do you know about that? Oh, Lord. That can probably be a whole topic for another day. But other kin is when, like you know, like furries, you know that, right?
Yeah.
It's like that, but you really believe that you're an animal on the inside. Like, actually. And you know, there's communities of people. And my whole thing is that, you know, if you're not hurting nobody, like, whatever, you can do whatever you want, but it's still, a lot of people like to point and laugh, and I can't always blame them for liking to point and laugh at people, but it's like, there's no reason, you know, but if you want to believe that you're a dragon, you do you, man,
just don't try to fly.
Just don't bite me, please.
Don't try to fly.
Yeah. Should we talk about Diogenes again?
Yes.
I think we should probably talk about Diogenes again. Do you have any questions about Diogenes? Because I know a little too much about him.
Yeah, I believe that you do. Tell me more about his, like, life with the dogs.
Life with dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He didn't really have, like, any... Because his whole thing is he didn't name dogs, nor did he, like, keep dogs because they were animals and they weren't his, and that was kind of a part of his philosophy. But he respected dogs to such an extreme that he basically mirrored himself like dogs, and that was actually a large part of his philosophy, was trying to mirror, like, the lifestyle. Actually, the word cynic comes from that. It comes from the word kynikos. I don't know exactly how it's pronounced, but it basically means dog-like. So cynicism is dog-like, which is kind of weird because you always paint these dogs as these happy creatures, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the thing to remember is that cynicism isn't exactly the belief necessarily that everything's terrible. It's more the belief of, you know, society as we know it is a degradation of our truest selves, which is kind of a weird stance to be taking as a guy. It's weird to be listening to the guy living in a barrel, you know, peeing on the street, but why is my phone's going sicko mode? You know, he lived his life, and Plato, he really did not like Plato, and Plato did not like the way that he treated dogs, is because a large part of above all other, if, like, that was his favorite animal and his favorite thing was dogs.
So,
he was the original other kin.
Okay, because he respected dogs a lot. He respected wolves a lot.
I mean, I'm assuming any canine-like creature, but I feel like they probably did have wolves in ancient Greece if they had dogs, but I don't know. I don't know about that's another topic for another day, talking about how, you know, humans slowly, how he turns wolves bigger than us into chihuahuas.
It's because, like, honestly...
Oh, yeah, they did have wolves. That's my bad.
Because, like, I'm a dog lover.
Yeah.
A cat lover. So,
yeah.
Like, don't make me choose.
You gotta love animals.
honestly, I can see his perspective. I can understand why he respected dogs a lot. Like, they're fiercely loyal to their owner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, whatever you...
To their friend.
Yeah, to whatever you want to call it.
I'll call it a friend. I don't believe that dogs can actually be owned. But,
It's fair.
For me, I believe that the husky is, like, the closest one to
being
a wolf. And, like, me coming from, like, a Hispanic background, coming from a cultural family,
yeah,
like, that follows its culture closely, one of our many beliefs is that we ourselves have the spiritual wolf inside of us.
Ooh, that's cool.
So, it's, like, obviously we can talk about this another day.
I mean, it's an interesting topic. We can talk about it.
Yeah, it's a whole topic to understand.
Yeah.
It's, like, there's so many dynamics that comes with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting topic.
Another interesting thing going off of that, do you know how Native American naming systems worked? So, you know, like, they had names like Sleeping Dog or Screeching Eagle. That's because they were usually, I don't know if this is indicative of all cultures, and I could easily be wrong, and I wouldn't be mind corrected on this, but from what I've read, what I've seen, it's the first thing that they saw after the child was born. So, if you're born, and then you see a bear charging full force towards your home, congratulations, your child's name is now Charging Bear.
The naming system was unique.
It's very unique.
It's very interesting, I'm not gonna lie. It's very interesting, but it's unique, not like ours. Like, compared to they. Like, for example, you can be named Elizabeth and be named after Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You can be named Alexandra, and named after Alexander Hamilton or the Great.
You now have kids that are named like crazy things, like I've seen like a million Destinies. Like,
I've seen a million Lovelies.
Lovelies, really? Yeah. I haven't seen a Lovely before. My girlfriend works at a Y, and teaches swimming to kids. And I kid you not, she had a child come in, and her name was Ladasha, right? Ladasha. That's a normal name, you know, you can see that. But it was spelled L-A, an actual dash, and then another A. Ladasha. Yeah. The dash was pronounced fully.
To be honest, I can't say anything. Well, because my name, Alexandra. It was supposed to be spelled A-L-E-X dash Sandra. However, the doctors removed it.
Sandra. Are you upset with the doctors, or do you think that was a good call?
I think it was a good call. SATs. A-L-E-X-Sandra. That's something else.
My name is... I think my parents are listening right now, so I can't really insult my name too much. It's a little less interesting. I think it was mostly they might actually text me about this. I had a grandfather, great-grandfather? Yeah, I don't have a grandfather named Max. Am I crazy? Great-grandfather, a great-uncle or something like that named Max. And I think, oh, Max, that's boring. Maxim, that's unique. And boom, slap the IM on. I was born the year that Gladiator came out, it won the best picture. Main character's name was Maximus, so boom, got that all tied together. Maximus, yeah. That's a little bit cooler name, but it's a little bit more of a mouthful.
You know our friend named Max as well?
Yeah, Max, is his full name Maxwell?
Maxwell.
Yeah.
You gotta love the dude.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great.
Shout out to Maxwell.
He's so tall. I thought his name was Maximum.
Oh my god.
And I was like, Maximum this, Maximum that. And
Maximum height.
And then I asked him, your name is Maximum, right? And he gave me this look. He was like, no, my name is Maxwell.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, I forgot about it. That's great. Great friend right there.
It's
forgetting people's names.
It's okay, it happens. I'm not the best with names either. Right? Isn't that right, Allie?
To be honest, like, many people call me Alex, Allie.
Really? People call you Allie?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. You've called me Chuck before.
Yeah, but then it's back to Max.
That's fine.
I don't even know anymore.
You can call me whatever. I'm cool with nicknames. I've had the worst nicknames.
Really?
Yeah. An old friend used to call me Beanie. I don't even know where that one came from.
What?
Yeah.
Probably because you were wearing a beanie.
No, I never wore beanies as a kid. You just called me Beanie. I think because I was small, cause like a bean. Like a bean. Yeah.
Me, no, I only had like those sweet. Yeah. Names. Like yep. Chick or Kitty.
That's yeah. It. I feel like the name Max M Chuck Row has so many things to it. Chuck Row Max, and then I M at the end. My initials spell Mech, which there's a my name can be played with in the same way like anything can be played with. Anyway. Back to Diogenes.
Yeah, I just love how we like.
It's good, dude. Rails. Tangents are the beauty of conversation. But you know, we got 15 minutes left. I know we've only been on air for 30, but we got another show that's going to be following us. That's okay. Stay tuned for them if you want to. I don't know what they're about, but they should be interesting. let me just. If we're gonna continue talking about. You know, Diogenes, one of the things I find most fascinating about him was, and the funny thing is how he died. We don't know. There's a few tales. And the personal one that I like to believe, and there's a few ones, he ate something, he had got food sickness and died. You know, he got sick from something else, died. He got, you know, he dog bit him that had rabies and he died from the rabies. My personal favorite one. I don't think it's even possible, but this is how I choose to believe he went out. He held his breath until he died.
What?
That's one of the ways that they said. He just said, I'm done. I'm done with this whole living thing. It's overrated. And just went, oh my God. And just held his breath until he died. I don't think it's possible. You know what? I'm actually going to look this up right now. There is a Greek philosopher who died laughing at his own joke. I don't know. I don't even know how you... like go about hitting that point in time where you die laughing at your own joke, but it must have been either really funny or not funny at all. But it's just, yeah, the Greek philosopher that died laughing at his own joke. Let's see, Chrysippus. Oh, and guess what? He was a Stoic philosopher. So that means he was one of the disciples of Diogenes. Isn't that interesting? They tied it all the way around. There's also, I don't remember if this is Greek or Roman, but one of the leaders declared war on Poseidon, you know, the sea god,
yeah.
And he ordered his men to go to the ocean and cut at the waves. Yeah.
The ocean can't be tamed.
The ocean cannot be tamed, especially not with swords. So he stood on the beach and he said, all right, men, you're going to line up and you're going to start slashing at the waves. You're going to kill Poseidon. You can imagine how well that went. I believe, yeah. I think some Roman guy, Rome. I think Rome before it fell had a. We just moved from Greek to Rome, but you know the Romans stole the cultures from the Greek. So don't at me. One of the Romans elected a horse as like part of the council, like one of his favorite horses, and that's actually happened a few times where people elect like dogs or cats. Do you know that there's a few cities in America that have dog mayors?
What?
It's a city in Alaska that has a dog mayor, and they keep re-electing the mayor. Because they have other forms of government, right? And the mayor was really more of a ceremonial role, so the government has worked around it. So, yeah, they have a dog mayor. Isn't that great? And that's basically their mascot.
I would love to see
yeah.
how everything's
yeah. going. There's also a town called Hell, and the whole thing is tourism. And it's welcome to Hell. You can become the mayor of Hell for, like, $200 for a day, and they vote you out immediately. That's the thing, though. So you actually temporarily become an elected official, but then, you know, they boot you out the day of. They got a whole ceremony and everything. So if you want to be mayor of Hell for a day,
no, thank you.
But it could be funny. You can throw it on a resume. I was mayor for a day. I feel like
yeah,
that.
And then they boot me out.
Have you ever watched Parks and Rec? Yeah, this is one of the characters became mayor somehow at 18 and ran his whole city into the ground, or town into the ground. It's really funny. I don't know why I'm thinking.
18-year-olds, of course they were. They're not really mature enough.
And it's also a TV show, so. I mean, it's great. It's fantastic, yeah. And we love it. But, ooh, that's my neck cracking. Oh, wow, right. We're talking about Diogenes, right?
We talk about a dog mayor.
Booyah, we got like 11. Well, I mean, that's very. Diogenes would be proud of that, having mayor as a dog, because he's like, yes, finally, A mayor as a dog. Yeah, no, that's right. A dog as a mayor. I think dog as a mayor works better. Yeah. Dad, you'd be like, yes, the true hierarchy is finally revealed. Dogs are in charge now. Yeah, no, his whole thing was he just did what he felt like it. And one of the things that was actually frowned upon was eating in the marketplace. So if you like bought like, I don't know, I don't think Greek had bagels, but let's say you bought a bagel at like the at the farmer's market, it wasn't like you were not allowed, but like people would frown upon eating in a public spot. Diogenes would buy it and just start munching, you know, bought an apple, munch on it, because
he didn't care.
He was a dog, dude. He wanted to be like a dog. If you put food in front of a dog, would it walk away and then
it would eat it.
Although I have shepherds. I don't know. Do you have any dogs or animals?
I have a poodle.
Yes, I love poodles. They can be so mean though. Yeah. Anyway, we have two German shepherds and a something. So,
what?
A something, a mutt. We love her. Her name is Bowie, and she's crazy and super affectionate. But unlike most dogs, shepherds eat so slowly. So there's a great video, and if any of you are listening to this, there's a video of a golden retriever and German shepherd spaghetti contest. It's about as stupid as it sounds. And they basically put two bowls in front of a German shepherd and a golden retriever, right? And they say, okay, you're going to eat spaghetti. And so what they do is they time it, and the golden retriever eats the whole thing in about 5 seconds. Like, rah, 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 like completely munches and like basically inhales the spaghetti.
The other one was enjoying it.
Yeah, no, the German shepherd just slowly picks at it and kind of like sniffs it and starts to eat it. And
to make sure it's
yeah, no, they're smart. That's the whole thing. They want to make sure that they're not poison. That's, yeah. I mean, I think dogs, like, it's so interesting when dogs show intelligence beyond what you'd expect of them.
I know. Like, my mom, she used to have this dog. Mm-hmm. She loved the dog. I wouldn't say it's the size of a bear, but it was huge.
Hey, black bear.
She was loved. The dog was loved.
Mm-hmm.
A lot by my mom and her family. However, the fact was that the dog was fiercely protective of the house, and my grandmother, she had like a few chickens there. A goose, and all that. And so if other chickens would cross his territory, he mm-hmm. would kill them.
Wow.
So he was very terrible, fiercely loyal, smart, because like he would try to find ways to, like, you know, prevent them from, like, you know, crossing his territory.
However,
somehow they were always, the chickens would always be successful. People got, like, tired of it, and they killed the dog.
Oh.
But the dog was, the dog was amazing. The dog was amazing. It was a he.
That's great. We had a few dogs in our family that were pretty awesome, and my three dogs at home, Jolie, Levi, and Bowie. Love you guys. You know, my dad had a dog, and I met him, but I was like three at the time, I think, when he died. The big German shepherd, and we've always had German shepherds named Boris. Boris. And he would pull my dad around on roller skates and that kind of thing. He was so smart. We actually get all, it's really funny. We get, most people don't believe this, we get our dogs from monks. Christian monks. Yeah, there's a place called the Monks of Newski. You look them up, and they breed German shepherds. And they also, the nuns make killer cheesecakes. So the monks specialize, because this is how they make their cash. They breed dogs, and they make cheesecakes. And their cheesecakes are so damn good. Like, I cannot stress enough how good these cheesecakes are. If you're ever in upstate New York, you're ever at a farmer's market, you see a Newski cheesecake, you buy it, you eat it, and you tell me how good it was. Because I know it's amazing. I've had them before.
Listen,
why does it matter if I know the boroughs or not, huh? I wasn't living there. It doesn't matter.
No, it's just funny that when I found out they didn't know the
Okay, no. To be fair, Taylor. No. Because you've got me on this horse now. Taylor was like, "What borough do you live in?" I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "What borough do you live in?" I was like, "What borough?" He's like, "You have to live in a borough." I was like, "No, I don't." He was like, "But you live in New York." I was like, "Yeah, in upstate." He says, "Yeah, what borough?" And I said, "Upstate." He says, "So Long Island." I'm like, "No." And we had this conversation back and forth for good, maybe probably 5 minutes. Listen. I do not live in a borough. I live in a county, upstate New York.
Yeah, I understand.
Saratoga County. Washington County? I don't know. Saratoga County, I think.
I understand, but I just was mad that day, so it was great.
Let me see if I can name them. Brooklyn, Staten Island, Bronx, Queens, Manhattan.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I did it. See, Taylor? I did it. I know what I'm talking about. Okay. Oh, wow, look at that face. You can't see it, but I actually pulled up a picture of the guy who died laughing at his own joke. He's about as, you know, Greek philosopher as you could possibly get, but that's okay. Ugh. Now, let's see what else. We got 5 minutes left, so let's do some closing thoughts about Diogenes. I think he's pretty cool. I think his philosophy was a little backwards, but, you know, as were most philosophers at the time. What do you think about philosophy, or not philosophy, about Diogenes now, and that I've been talking about him for a good 40 minutes?
I obviously know a little bit more.
Yeah.
Honestly, back then, philosophers were in their own way unique. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't blame him for believing what he believed.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, I respect him because he was, like you said, he respected dogs. I respect dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, dogs are the closest thing to, like, a husky is the closest thing to a wolf. And I respect wolves. Like, I love them. I honestly respect him. He had his own way of living.
Yeah, the interesting thing about dogs, I think they're all technically very closely genetically similar. I think it's mostly an appearance, but I do agree.
Chihuahua.
I think a chihuahua is about as close to a wolf as a husky is, or very close to, but in appearance, definitely not. Genes are weird, dude. Like,
yeah.
Genes are whack. So, I like, and look, the husky's probably the closest you can get look-wise.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, Diogenes' whole thing was basically, society's terrible, be a dog. And honestly, sometimes I wake up and I feel that way. I don't want to have to wake up and be a human. I want to be a dog. I want to sit around. I want to eat food, and I just want to chill. Like you get home after a day that's just terrible, and you look at your dog who's just asleep on the couch. He knows he's not supposed to be there, but he's on there.
Or
a cat. And it's like, why can't I be like you? You know, you don't have to conform to societal norms.
I don't know if you remember. I don't even know if I'm like talking about it correctly. But there was this movie where I don't know the name. I don't even know if it's an actual movie or like I got
dreamed it out.
Details. But this dude, he basically switched bodies with him.
I've seen that. I know it exists. I have no clue. It was like one of those bad like comedy movies.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was so funny.
Oh my god. I mean, I eventually need to watch The Room, and I think you need to watch that too, because they made a movie about The Room, and that won like an Oscar or something, which is crazy, because it's about the worst best movie ever made. Oh my god, you know what, that's another great topic, we can talk about Tommy Wiseau, how like nothing is known about him. Literally known almost nothing about him. He has like 1,000 different accents. And we know about as much about him as we know about Diogenes, which is kind of funny. And that's just because Diogenes either didn't write anything down or had all of his works destroyed. I got a feeling that Plato had a hand in that.
I mean, if Diogenes lived the way he lived,
he probably died pretty. Well, he probably didn't have the things.
I don't think he actually wrote anything down.
Yeah, but he had followers, you know.
He did, obviously. He did
have
followers.
Yeah, like Socrates didn't write anything down. That was all Plato's doing. Plato. If you ever read Socrates' apology, it's not even close. It's like apology in Greek means like defense or something, and it's basically like, and that's all Plato's writing. And part of it is like you have to wonder how much did Plato include to make Socrates seem cooler than he actually was, because Plato worshipped him, and then you had Aristotle followed after. But that's like a whole nother story of like that whole trifecta of philosophers that like hold up a lot of our Western values.
Yeah.
Now, Western values is kind of a sick term now, because people don't like it, because Western values are seen as like this terrible thing. I mean, who knows?
We have changed.
We have changed.
In the many decades.
Well, I think we have to wrap up soon, and by soon I mean just about now. So, once again, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania, and I hope you had a great day.
Take me on board that beautiful ship. Show me the world as I love to see.